Altshuler and Krinsky, two guys I've worked with. They've worked with Mike Judge. They've done, oh God, Silicon Valley, Blades of Glory. They've done it all. We'll talk to them. Funny guys, new book out. And we'll talk to them first. There is Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam saw a road sign in Arizona that said, "Cats have nine lives. You're not a cat. Buckle up. Get it on."
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
John Altshuler and Dave Krinsky have joined us. The book, The Gangster's Guide to Sobriety, My Life in 12 Steps. We'll talk all about that, how that came about. Of course, Silicon Valley, Beavis and Butthead, Blades of Glory, Extract. Forgot about that one. King of the Hill. So many more productions.
So much stuff that shaped our yes. comedy chops.
Good to see you guys, as per usual.
Good to see you, Adam.
One quick addendum to violence. I mean, rape. Vigilante force. The women in these 70s movies had nothing to do other than get raped and then killed. That's why you needed them there. At some point, they got raped, and then often in that order. And then at some point, they would have to get killed, yeah. and then they would have to go out for justice.
Right.
Those were the roles for the women back then. All right. The book, and how did the book come about? Because I think I know the story, but it sounds interesting to me.
Well, Adam, you have a lawyer, I'm sure. We have a lawyer who tells us one thing. Do not respond to emails. When you get blind emails, hit delete. Mm-hmm. So I'm at home, I get this email, and I start reading it, and it's very polite. And it's all about, hey, I'm a big fan of you and Dave's, blah, blah, blah. And this guy was actually pimping somebody else's project. He said, could we please get together so I could show this? But to show that he was legitimate, he included his IMDb page, which showed some, you know, little acting roles. Yeah, so it's incredible. So I'm about to literally hit delete, but Dave and I came up hard, okay? We came out to L.A. We didn't know anybody, worked as PAs for 3 years, so there's something about people coming out of nowhere that kind of grabs you. So you cut to the next day, and I'm at the Starbucks in Sherman Oaks, and there's this guy, Richie Stevens, and he's showing me this project with his friends, which wasn't interested in, but he's this Irish guy, very gregarious, and he starts dropping little things like, well, that's when I was running guns, and this is when I was, I was in an Asian gang, and I was a drug dealer, and I was like trying to process it all, and I kept asking more and more questions, and the stories got bigger and bigger. Like, he came to America. I was like, oh, to get a job. Oh, no. It's because the drugs are shite in Ireland. I had to go where the drugs are good, which is San Francisco, apparently.
Sure.
And who had the best drugs? The Asian gang. And so he gets into debt to the Asian gang, and he doesn't know what to do. So he says, well, I'm going to work for you. You can't. We're all Asian. And he goes, no, you're all Asian and a white guy. So we have all these stories, and we don't know quite what to do with it, except I knew I needed to drag Dave Krinsky into it.
Yeah, he described Richie, this Irishman who was a gangster and a drug addict and an alcoholic recovered. And I was picturing some like 60-year-old bloated Irish dude with the Bill Clinton nose
right.
for all the stories. But
Gin Blossom.
Yeah, but he's actually like a young, handsome, Irish dude, and very charming, as John said, and his stories were just phenomenal.
70s thin, too.
Yes, yeah.
There he is.
That's our guy.
You see those abs.
So you are you thinking book? You guys think TV mainly or features.
Exactly. So his stories were so amazing. They were Ireland, Australia, America, you know, San Francisco, Los Angeles, all over the place. And we couldn't get a handle on it till one moment it kind of hit me. I went, Richie, you're sober. He goes, yep. I go, he has 10 years. I go, 12 steps? He goes, yeah, this is what we'll do. We'll do your life in 12 steps. That way we can do each chapter is a step in recovery, and we can draw from all of these Scorsese-like insane stories and pull from them. When we did that, we actually had interest in it as a TV show, but Dave has always wanted to write a book, and we were kind of like, you know, in this new world order where things don't make sense and all you hear about is IP, we're like, let's write the book. So we were able to get a book deal, you know, this incredible agent, Jan Miller and Lacey Lynch, who I think you know. She's not used to being in business with us, though. I mean, she was very excited. She goes, we got 12 people interested in this. This is going to be huge. Now, I know my life, Dave's life. The next day, 11 of them dropped out, okay? Because they didn't know where to put it because they're like, well, it's like a celebrity story, but he's not a celebrity. And it's a serious story, but you guys are comedy writers. And we're kind of like, well, that's why we think it's going to be good.
And Richie always reiterates, it's not a how-to book. It's not a self-help book because he can't tell anybody what to do. He just wants to tell his story of how he came out the other side.
How did you guys come to be? You came out here at the same time, started, as you said, at the bottom. And I'll dovetail this into a story that I think needs to be told more, but tell us your story first.
So we met at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and a buddy of mine, you know, said, oh, you should meet this guy, John Ultra. You guys have the same sense of humor. So we hooked up there. We did some work in Chapel Hill. Like, there was a TV network to start up with student TV, so we did our own sketch show. And it was fun. Like, John had an econ degree and didn't go work in a bank. I had a useless degree and knew I wasn't going to find a job, so moved out to L.A., and yeah, as you said, we worked as PAs for a long time.
But before we moved to L.A., this was our big break, is that we were like, we got to do something, okay? Let's get published, okay? And so the idea was let's get published in a humor magazine. Well, there was only one, and it was National Lampoon. I don't know if you remember this magazine, but it was a big deal. So they had this thing called the Writer's Market, and it was a book, and it had every magazine. So we look up National Lampoon, and there's National Lampoon, and it says, we accept absolutely no unsolicited material, okay? And so Dave and I were like, what are we going to do? And so I had this brilliant idea. We basically did a little submission and a query letter, and we said, we know that you got – we sent it to Maddie Simmons, Chris Simmons, and Ratso Sloman, who were the managing editors. We know you're very important, but here's something for your time, and enclosed a dollar with each letter. So one day I worked at a Chinese restaurant. I delivered pizzas in Chapel Hill. We were saving money to come out here. We didn't even have an answering machine. No air conditioning, no answering machine. I walk in, the phone's ringing. I pick it up and I said, this is Chris Simmons. I go, can I speak to John Ultra? I go, this is Chris Simmons. Money talks. What have you got? I'm like, well, he goes, I got your dollar right here. And so I pitched him what we had and they said, okay, we're interested. And they published us. And that's one reason why, like when we were in King of the Hill, everybody was from Harvard. Everybody, you know, and so somebody would show up with a Texas-shaped cookie and a script, and everybody would ridicule them. But we're like, you just don't know what it's like to have no ins.
Yeah, you know, I was just from Monterey and found myself at a dinner talking to Jim Farley, who runs Ford now. Nicest guy in the world.
He's that Farley.
He's a racer. Yeah, he's that Farley. Looks like Chris Farley, but he's svelte, you know. He's not 70 thin, but he's in good shape. Nicest dude in the world. Races cars. He races a lot of vintage cars. It's a picture of us from the year before or whatever. He's always there. He was in my run group. Smoked me as a much quicker car, but still fast, man. And so he's the nice guy in the world. He's the most regular guy in the world. And I was like, Cindy, he runs Ford now. It's a mega company, you know? And I was like, well, we had some time just sitting, you know, sitting and talking at this restaurant. And I said, how'd you get started in this? And he's like, I did upholstery for Phil Hill. Phil Hill was one of the first American F1 champions, like a legendary racing guy, probably from the 50s into the 60s. Had a restoration shop in Santa Monica, and Jim did the upholstery. Sewed the seats and stuff. And like, you know, started in, I don't know, 86 or something. And it's like, I got started and worked there for a while. And this guy's always tell you the story. And then I went to Saab for a while in the, you know, mid-80s, and I headed to blah, blah, blah. And they bounce around, but they kind of keep bouncing up. And everyone wants this story of like, what's your dad do or who do you know? And it's like, it's not how it works. And all it does is motivate them to be unmotivated. Well, my dad's not running Ford, so how could I? And there's always nepotism. Don't get me wrong. But the guy who's running Ford right now was doing upholstery work at Phil Hill's restoration shop in the early 80s in Santa Monica. So he's now runs Ford. He's not old either. So you show up, get busy, don't be an asshole, don't get grabby, but be assertive and be consistent, and you just kind of find your way.
This is the – whenever we do talks to college kids, we always just say, here's the first thing, don't be crazy, okay? Right. We're like, nobody wants you out here, okay? They're not like, oh, we need more young people to come out and try to take our jobs. Nobody wants you. And so the other thing is just try to make your boss's life – a little bit easier, okay? Because Dave and I were like, here's your call. You know, we were PAs for Howard Gottfried, who made Network, okay? Mm-hmm. And we never talked, we never bothered him, but there's the coffee. Everything's done. And so one moment he goes, you guys don't want to be PAs. What do you want? Well, we want to be writers. All right, let me read what you got. So that's the thing, sort of, you know, hang in there. But I have a question for Adam Carolla, because talking about hanging in there, my favorite Adam Carolla book is Not Taco Bell Material. Okay,
I
gave it to my kids to read.
Wow!
Every time I drive by North Hollywood High, which is far too often, I look at the now revamped Taco Bell.
Yeah,
and they just gave it a facelift.
Yeah, well, but there's two things that interest me about it. First of all, that to me, as much as I love Road Hard and I like everything that you've done, that to me is the show that should be done. The story of you at that age trying to break it, because it's a very vulnerable story in a lot of ways, very funny. But Taco Bell got me thinking about you were on Howard Stern and you were talking, I think, about you know not getting the job at Taco Bell. And I still remember him. He goes, wait, so do you really like that food? And you were like, I was hungry. Like, he didn't have any idea of what it was like to be in the 70s where parents weren't around and having no food. It wasn't, do I like this? You were just trying to, you know.
Survive.
Yeah. It's funny because I hearkened back to one of the thoughtful gifts child actor and beyond Nikki Katz got. He got one of the things that was in my gift bag that I forgot about. Was a hat from Henry's Tacos, because he remembers when I would go down there, 14, and they had the hard taco shells, every eighth one busted. They're always off to the side.
Yeah, chips.
And I would just go, give me the busted taco shells, give me a water, and give me some taco sauce.
Yeah.
And somehow, by law, like they had to do it, and they're like, all right, here you go. I didn't buy anything ever, and then I just sat at the table and busted the taco shells up and dipped them into the stuff and washed it down with some tap water. And people are like, was it good? I was like, no, it's not good. Nothing's good. You're just trying to get by here. Oh, yeah. It's just fuel. It's called a job. It doesn't have to be uplifting or inspiring. It's just a job.
We used to, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, get a bucket of bones. And a bucket of bones was, because you're hungry, is that they would strip the real meat off the chicken bones to use on the biscuits, and you could buy the bones to just sort of get something off of
That's
it.
That's Dickensian.
Yes. You do learn a lot, and then you can tolerate a lot, and, you know, you grow up without air conditioning, so you kind of appreciate air conditioning now. I think everyone needs to be calibrated, And if your calibration starts as smartphone, heated pool, and central air, it's really hard to recalibrate. And all the discussions about you should – it never works in the calibration department.
What are you talking about?
We were forcefully calibrated. Some of it is technology. Like, we didn't have a smartphone. And there was some, you know – central air, but no one I knew pretty much, nope. And that was it.
Well, so, you're nailing it. My mom told me this a long time ago. She was an interesting woman, ran as a libertarian in 1972 for the mayorship of our town. But she said you can't fake it, you don't have money. Okay, we didn't have money when I grew up. There was no money, so it was easy. And by what I mean it's easy is that you figured out how to survive. Like, what was our rotation? It was like Tuesday night was Pioneer Chicken.
Yeah, in Burbank, Pioneer Chicken had like 3-piece special for $1.99, and then Del Taco at Taco Night, 99 cents for 3 tacos. And every week we just hit those places.
And you can't fake it. You know, I worked tobacco not because I wanted to pick tobacco. It's because back in 1977, you would get $25 a day as a 13-year-old. That's a lot of money. Now, I got so much tobacco on my arms that I would hallucinate, and I still remember the hallucinations I had of tobacco worms coming at me as I'm driving down the field. But you learn that you don't want to pick tobacco. There's something else that, Adam, you said one time, which is that people don't realize that these are stepping stone jobs. You know, like working – when I worked at a steakhouse, that's not the end all. It's a stepping stone job.
It's funny. I was talking to one of my guys. He's like 50, 51 or something. I won't get in all the gory details, but we needed our truck, my tow truck, which is not a tow truck. It's the truck that hauls the tower, hauls the trailer, could not be used to bring the race car home on Sunday morning when we normally – and we did have a car, but we didn't have it. Anyway, Sean, the guy at the other track, said, I will borrow Charles's truck. I will hook the truck – I will hook the trailer up to it. I will leave on Saturday night from Monterey at about 8:30. I'll drive it back to the shop in Burbank. I will drop it off, and I will turn around and I will come back.
Wow.
And then Charles can have his truck back for the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like,
ride or die.
That's 6 hours each way at night. And he's got to undo the trailer and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'll do it. And I said to him, wow, man, that's a lot. And he said, when I grew up in Iraq, when I was 8, my dad took me to a public hanging. And I was like, well, this is better than that. So you have been set, my friend. You have a nice setting. My son's setting is it was a disaster because we couldn't find the charger for the electric bike, and I had to pedal around the track in between bites of Kobe beef tacos. But he's like, all right, yeah, your setting is you saw a dude hang. You went to a public hanging in Iraq.
God. We need more of those now.
Yes, I agree. It prevents a lot of.
In Iraq?
Yeah.
In La Cañada.
It prevents, like the people who TP'd my house for the 15th time.
Yeah.
The joke's on them at this point because I'm not even going out anymore. Yeah.
You know, I have a car.
I will say this on the TPing, and I feel mixed about. Like, remember when I was giving tips to pedophiles for Catch a Predator?
And how?
Just to say, order medium pizza to show up before you show up and wait outside. But, okay. I shouldn't be giving tips to TPers, but my approach is I will just drive past it, drive over it. I just go to work. I don't even deal with it. But they actually set up a ribbon of TP between the fence and the mailbox so that one would have no choice but to drive through it. And I drove through it. And it worked perfectly. Went right over both ends of my car, snapped about a 10-foot leash off of both sides. One side got caught in the driver's mirror and like pinched in there. And I found myself trying to undo the mirror and fish the toilet paper out of it. So
that's a 3-ply.
They will not be ignored. And they nailed it this time.
Wow.
Well, they should not do what Buzzy Heron, you know what Buzzy Heron did? When I was in third grade, he wanted to soap all the windows of our entire school, Winkler Elementary School, and raise havoc. but he didn't want to get caught. So Buzzy Heron did every classroom except for his own. So literally the next day, you see Buzzy Heron being hauled off because it just started. They go, this room? Wait, Buzzy Heron? Boom. So.
Well, so the book, and are, so we thinking about a feature, we optioning things, a series. I mean, there is no more format anymore. It's like you could do a four-part series on Netflix. I mean, it's just a however many part we want to do.
Well, we're definitely looking at it as a TV series, and we've been right now we're deciding whether to do it in Ireland, through Ireland, because Richie's Irish and do it with this great Irish company, and then maybe a UK. We've been doing a lot more projects internationally and in Europe, sort of Europe into America as opposed to America to Europe. It's a lot more fun. You know, we have a motorcycle race comedy that we're doing, like, let's do it in Italy and then bring it in. But so right now we're deciding, do we go the usual route, which is, you know, armor it up with talent and go to a streamer, or maybe a little more entrepreneurial, which is our bent, because we've kind of, it's not that we won't do things that way, it's just not a lot of fun. I don't know, David.
Yeah, I mean, the business has changed a bit. When I remember when we worked together, the show we did, I was like, I'm quitting the business if they don't pick up Bertram. I was like, this is, it's the perfect show. It was the perfect show for Fox, the perfect, I was King of the Hill, but edgier. And I didn't quit the business, even though they didn't pick it up. But it just doesn't make sense. And now they've taken the fun away from it, the business. They've taken the home run away in TV. So doing anything more entrepreneurial or international just seems more appealing right now.
When did the Mike Judge introduction happen?
Well, that happened where we were the first hires in the first season of King of the Hill. And it was interesting because we just connected with Mike right off the bat, because we all I remember I was pitching an idea about when I was 13, I had to sell drinks at football games at East Carolina University, which is – The Pirates.
Pirates, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And I had to haul these drinks. Now, I have a real problem with child labor laws, which – because child labor laws are not to protect children, okay? It is simply a union shill and maybe sanctimony, because I could work tobacco. I could be in a 98-degree temperature with heavy machinery, or – you end up being put under the power of these Fagin-like characters, which was what when you sold drinks, you always had this mean adult who was in charge of the 13-year-olds. So I pitched that to Mike because I had sort of mean, not all the way there. Guy Mike just went nuts because he goes, that was – okay, I had a boss, my first boss. I was 15 and I worked at a country club as a dishwasher, and you had to – rack it up and then set it down, and it was supposed to go for 60 seconds, okay? And so you need to count it. And so Mike's going 1,000, 1,000, and he's counting. And the guy yells at him for not counting fast enough, okay? And so from that point on, we just connected and worked on more things. And there's something that's interesting about Mike, though, is that we always say that we have the horrible stink of the middle class. Is that we came up in that kind of upper poverty, lower middle class situation that Hollywood despises. There is nothing more than they hate. If you're wealthy and you're in this, if you're poor and great, but we have the stink of the middle class. So we kind of connected from that point on.
Yeah, I've never heard. Right. So it's either this guy went to Yale and Harvard and worked on the Crimson Review, and then, or this guy slept in his car.
Yes.
I've never heard more people claiming to have slept in their car. Right. I made it from like 0 to 39 without meeting anyone who slept in the car. Now, evidently, every third city council person slept in their car. Which to me is not, is that some sort of badge of competency or something? Like, I'll say you were a junkie when you're 28? Like, by all means, run Burbank. Yeah. Any other junkies? And the two biggest arguments I get with these Burbank City Council guys, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's like, I'm on the spectrum and I slept in my car. Oh, awesome. Here are the keys of the city.
That's your campaign slogan.
How much taxpayer money would you like to blow through? Like, I don't, well, this Constantine, I think the guy's name.
Or so. Yeah,
the point is why is this, why are we giving kudos? I mean, it makes, you know, it's layered. There's a little more interesting thing, but never heard more people try to get away from having responsible parents. You know what I mean? Where they're like, we didn't have anything. We didn't. Oh, your dad sounds like a shit. Well, he did what he could. You know, what did he do? He ran IBM. but we were not. He had money. He had money. All we had was his Cadillac and his mansion and his Olympic-sized swimming pool and his vacations. Why? We didn't have our own.
Technically,
he made
broke.
Us sure to know. Yeah, I know. When your dad has money, it means you have money when you're a kid because you get all the accoutrements of a dad who has money.
I was sent something. Successful Harvard writer who the joke among comedians was that the most tense time in his life was the 30 minutes before he landed into L.A. where he was going to decide which job he was going to be given from a – he now was on record explaining how there's nothing harder nowadays to be a comedy writer who was from Harvard. You know, and you're just like, oh, my God, this is my problem with the rich Uber class. They take it both ways. It's like they're going to have everything and then, oh, poor me. Yeah. I went to Harvard.
Yeah. Well,
and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
Probably on the spectrum. So, yeah, I know. But Mike Judge, obviously real kind of working class and whatever. And it shows in his work. It's hard to make those kind of stories up. You kind of have to live those kind of stories. So you guys want to hang out with us and do some news as well?
Yeah, we love being here.
All right. Well, first I'll tell you guys about Concrete. This stuff's so good. It's creatine. I actually brought it with me on the trip. I was so into it. Your body makes about half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet, but most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods and Concrete. That's where they come in. Patented creatine, HCL. It's a favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds. Put it in your shaker bottle. Mix it up. It's got a nice lemon flavor. Tastes good. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. The immune cells, well, you need it because it protects you. It protects your heart cells and also your lungs as well. It is Concrete. Right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
All right, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with John and Dave in the news right after that.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Hypothetical that I wrote down. You guys tell me what you think. I was watching that Elvis movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching him. I was watching another Elvis doc, and I think they showed a clip from Jailhouse Rock, and he's doing the whole, you know, it's a music video, sure. Essentially. There are 15 cons, all white. Now, is that good or is that bad? You know what I mean? Because on one hand, they made them all white back then because they were hiring white guys. Now it's good because it's all white guys and no black cons in there. What do we do? Is it progress? Would you say we must need an equal amount of black cons in this video now? They're being underrepresented.
Now,
even
yes.
At half, they're being uppers. I don't think you could. You couldn't go to a pure prison representation quotient, could you? Like, no. Well, 71% are black, so we got to do 7 out of 10. You couldn't do that.
I say it's bad simply because they took jobs away from black actors.
That's right, black dancers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Right. So now you'd have to go like a 3 out of 10, you'd have to go 3?
Sure.
Yeah, or some sort of ambiguity in the race.
Yeah, couple, ethnically ambiguous.
Couple Hispanics.
But you'll be wrong whatever you do.
Yeah. Someone's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
We can all make our peace with that.
Yeah.
Well, over the dark week, the news broke that actress and friend of our show, Anne Heche, was taken off life support after that bizarre, fiery car crash in Mar Vista. Very sad. And now, Heche's death has sent many fans scrambling to find her autobiography. So she wrote this book in 2001 called Call Me Crazy, and it's been out of print for years. And now copies are being rebranded as collectibles, selling for up to $1,000 per book.
They can reprint those.
Hey, man.
Well, listen, I've written books. Just go to Anne Heche's condo, go into her garage. There will be 400
boxes.
Cases of books that you guys look forward to this day.
Yeah.
At some point, they go, you know, people liked your book, but they didn't love it. We thought they'd love it. They just liked it. So we made a whole bunch of extra. So you can either throw them away or we'll just drop them off in your garage.
Yeah, what's to be done with those? You literally have to just take them?
Larry Miller was explaining that he had built himself like a fort in his garage out of them. You can go full igloo
insulation.
Style.
Yeah, like the last bookstore downtown.
It's more than R30. Yeah, insulation. I mean, literally, if you looked at the R value of poured concrete, oak paneling, or books, you get a lot more. Look, when you blow insulation, it's just cellulose. It's literally newspaper, you know, blown up. So there's a lot of R value. You could a 30-06 would not penetrate halfway into chapter 3. You know, it's got a protective value to it. So I'd say, we could build homeless encampments.
Yes.
And we could build low cost housing.
Yes.
And if they wanted to. You know, be inspired.
Nice read.
Pop one up.
That's great.
Get off the fentanyl.
And you're totally right about it not going through books, because remember the scene in Sopranos where they have the phone book over Lorraine's chest?
Yes.
And Popper go, oh, we only made it to the R's.
Yeah.
So you're right.
This is piles of books.
That's really smart.
Insulation, protective. You know, I don't know how they fare in earthquake, but we could tech that out. Figure that out.
Crazy
works.
Clue.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know we have a future.
That's right.
Well, as the fight to bring Brittany Griner back to the United States continues.
Anne Heche, yes. First off, she was a lovely woman.
Very
She's
nice.
Been in the show many times. Fun, but clearly troubled.
Right.
But they didn't find alcohol on her, but they...
There was some in the car.
They did show that, but she didn't test.
That's right,
you know.
Right.
They didn't find trace amounts of cocaine, but I think they find that in fish now, right? I mean, this is L.A., you know what I mean?
Every dollar in my wallet.
Why the crazy, right? Why the crazy drive? Why
Could have been a mental episode, some sort of a breakdown.
Yes. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, she was really lovely.
She was.
Well, as the fight to bring Brittany Griner back to the United States continues, our hero has emerged. He's going to fix it again, just like he did with North Korea. Dennis Rodman has announced Saturday he's going.
The money was on Seagal.
I was thinking Elon Musk.
And Elon.
Rodman shared in an interview with NBC News that he intends to travel to Russia in the near future to get her released. Griner, who's 31, was sentenced to 9 years in a Russian penal colony. Is there a sadder and scarier sentence than that for the drug charges of having hashish oil in her luggage? But according to NBC, Rodman is not required to receive special permission from the U.S. to make the trip. He would only need it from Moscow and maybe their fans.
Do we know? I mean, Rodman has got to be careful. Like, I don't know if Putin is quite the level of an NBA fan of the 90s that, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
See, I don't think if this nice woman is Jewish, I don't think she's Jewish, because I won't even fly through the Moscow. I could have saved $1,000 a ticket. If we'd fly through whatever the Moscow airport, I won't go into Russia. I won't go. My family got out in 1898.
And
we don't go
out.
Back. You stay out. Who goes to Russia?
You chose to pay more.
Wow. Yeah,
Brian, please.
To not go through Moscow.
Well,
yes.
And that's our thing. We're planning a honeymoon, and we're talking about Europe and France and Switzerland. And someone said, "Oh, you should visit Berlin." I go, "I have no fucking use for Berlin, for Germany. I'm not interested. I wish them all well, but that's not going to be. They're not going to get my dollars.
Revenge tour."
that's not for me.
I've explained to my kids about the whole Berlin Nazi, but I only took it back as far as Hasselhoff's fame.
Oh.
I didn't go lower than that. I didn't want to freak them out.
I feel like there were more important things that happened in history.
We stopped at Hasselhoff's rise to power.
Imagine their confusion.
So they don't even know about the Holocaust.
I don't know anything about that. Really. Well,
they know enough.
Hasselhoff. That upset them.
It was really
upset
bad, and
that.
It started with an H.
Shana.
You know what they should do? Russia should say, look, we will agree to let Britney go with the worm, but you must promise to mate. And then we get to use the offspring. It's the ultimate rebounder. I mean,
we're going to clean every board.
Yeah. We're going to clean every goddamn board with this kid, male or female. They're going
out of
junior high into the league.
I do want to see that negotiation, though.
Right.
At the least, I want to see that posited.
Well, and I know I have this in here somewhere, but they are still working on a trade of Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan with the, what do they
Lord
call
of
them?
Morgan.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Victor
Lord of
Bout.
War. Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. But maybe Dennis Rodman will just make this all go away.
Mm.
Speaking of making things go away, we finally have an ending. Some would call it a happy ending to the Deshaun Watson saga, as the NFL and Players Association have agreed to suspend him for 11 games and fine him $5 million for all the massage shenanigans. While he wasn't criminally charged for anything, he was accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct during massage sessions. He'll be eligible for reinstatement November 28th and will be available to play against the Browns in Week 13 when Cleveland faces
he plays
the Texans.
For the Browns.
Right, right.
He's going to play against his ex-team.
His old
team.
Right.
The Texans.
And
yeah.
Remember, the judge said he was only suspended for 5 games, but like you said, the NFL probably has to optically, like, let's make it a little harsher.
Well, you have to, if you don't care about something and you look the other way and then you're accused of looking the other way, Hollywood does this too, then you have to go way into overcompensation mode. So you're aware of Harvey Weinstein and all the other degenerates doing everything and you turn a fucking blind eye to it and you celebrate these guys in award shows and stuff. And then you have to act like you care about someone slapping someone on the ass at some point because you're compensating for all the years you ignored everything. So NFL has to do that.
No, I think you're right.
As well.
By
is everyone watching Hard Knocks?
Yes. Oh, it's the first episode on the plane.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, what a man.
Love that show.
I love that show, and I know nothing about football, but it teaches me. But have you guys seen this series, Untold? The first episode is the fully fleshed out our story of Manti Te'o and the girlfriend.
Oh, I've been hearing about
it
that.
It is fascinating. You think you know, but there's so much more to this story.
Linebacker, don't know if he's still in the league.
No, I think he played for a couple of years.
I think he's Mormon and lives in Utah with somebody.
It was a big girl, big name out of college, kind of washed out a little bit.
All American Notre Dame.
He wanted to go to USC. He went to Notre Dame. And you hear like, well, how dumb can he be? And he must have been in on it. And it's just fascinating, the catfishing saga of this.
He's a free agent, according to Chris, this year.
Well, and
he's out of the league.
You hear half of the show is dedicated to interviewing the girlfriend, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Now identifies as a woman and wants to come out and tell her story of how this happened and why.
Now that the cement is hardening on this story, he was just incredibly naive.
Very.
Is that what we're looking at? Like, he's like a man child.
Religious and naive.
Yeah,
and
sheltered a bit, maybe.
Yeah, but this person now, I mean, the whole story, she'll tell you everything and she'll say, oh, I was so ashamed when I did this and then this. And they never meet Manti and Ronaya or whatever.
Was it a dude the whole time?
At the time, yes.
Oh, so this is a problem with
her. I know.
She'll say, it's like, what's she? All right.
I know. Dr. Phil's on it. It's amazing.
Can we stop getting angry at people who trust other human beings? You know, like, what a doofus. You should have known. You left your backpack on the fucking driver's seat and the window cracked. What? That's on you, dude.
Yep.
That's on you.
Okay.
It's no, it's not. I trust other human, God's creatures. Trust them. Sorry.
My neighbor was telling my wife, I didn't want to tell this to John because he gets his panties all in a bun about, twisted in a knot about crime. Somebody did a home invasion next door, but she's explaining, you know what? He doesn't leave his lights on. He doesn't. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's
I'm
his
like,
fault.
Are you,
He didn't have a Burmese tiger trap.
Yeah.
Sharpened bamboo spears in the front with elephant dung on them. This is on you, dude.
Yeah.
You just had the privacy knob locked. You didn't have the
deadbolt
turn. That's on you. It's like, no, it's not on me. Yes, it's on the person that broke into the house.
Mm-hmm. Pete Holmes has a great bit about that, about how you blame gullible people for just trusting humanity. You're totally right.
Gullible people are generally just nice people who think other people think like they think in a nice way.
Yeah.
So they tend to believe them.
How dare they?
Yeah.
He dared to have an emotional connection with somebody that online.
That's right. Who did a bang-up job?
Never pick up a hitchhiker. Never pick up. Of course you got stabbed. You deserved it. What are you doing giving that person a ride? Like, yeah. No, these are what people...
Oh, they're broke down on the side of the road.
I need money for gas.
Joke's on you.
Money's going up his nose. But it's like... Yeah, this it's called a society.
Yeah.
It used to kind of work.
Doesn't matter what we're wearing.
Let's not punish those who trust.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely check that out because it is riveting. Let's talk about something a little closer to home that may affect some gentlemen in this studio, this very studio. I'm not sure. A group of 30.
Wait a second, though. So the dude at the time was catfishing him just for fun?
He felt this, like, connection to him. He's just kind of this lonely dude, also super religious.
Gay?
Not out. I mean,
not out.
Part of the church and also Polynesian. And came up with this elaborate, and this was before the rest of us, you know, before we've gotten savvy on this issue. So you'd never heard of anything like this, and somebody shows you they're real, that they're real.
Right.
So it's really interesting. I can't wait to see what you think. Let me know if this affects anybody here. A group of 30 exotic dancers at North Hollywood Star Garden Topless Dive Bar.
Star Garden?
Yeah.
That was my hang.
That was his old haunt.
That's where I met my girlfriend.
That's right. So you might have a particular interest in this. They are unionizing. With what union, you ask? Actors Equity. Yes, indeed. They are, according to Deadline, the dancers voted overwhelmingly last week to unionize and join forces with SAG. They say, with Actors Equity.
We don't want that.
Wait, are they?
No,
they
Actors Equity.
Are
Actors
they
Equity.
Acting when they like me?
They're performing. Yes, it's a performance.
Well, then.
They say their bosses are guilty of all sorts of abuses, from skimming tips to letting customers get a little handsier than they're supposed to, despite there being rules against that. When asked why these protections are so important, a stripper named Velveeta replied, "We like what we do. We would like it more if our jobs were under basic protections. We're like so many other workers who have learned that it's not a choice between suffering abuse or quitting. With a union, together, we can make needed improvements to our workplace."
So Star Garden, I don't know what configuration it's in. Now, it's a little place, has a pool table and a bar. And
it's well appointed.
little stage. It's
like Jumbo's size. Like not.
Yeah,
that.
It's topless.
Yeah.
It's like first three dances, three songs.
Song stops it.
Yeah, this is first.
I mean,
it's like
know.
In some kind of negligee stuff,
sure.
And then the second is like in a more revealing outfit, and then the third is the same outfit, but the top comes off at the minute left in the song, and then that's the whole thing. But there's no champagne room or lap dances.
Really? Well,
no.
When's the last time you were there? 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
What time did the show start?
1989.
I don't want to see the scabs when they go on strike.
That's right. That's
a
point. The lunch crew.
Yeah. They don't. A little DJ booth, a little bar, little place. I don't know if they blew a place out and busted down and got in with Venus Affair or something. Whatever. There was a place that sold stuff too.
Venus
Affair. Yeah. It was
Is
either
it like
Venus Fair.
Show?
It was either Chris can look. It was either Venus Fair or Venus Affair. Maybe Venus Fair. Same side of the street, Lancashire.
Yeah, Venus Fair with an E at the end. Fair.
Like a Renaissance Fair.
Like a play on Vanity Fair.
Oh, there you go.
But Star Garden, they don't. Guys can't really get hands. I mean, they could get handsy because.
Can you get a lap dance?
No.
Oh.
But I think that the dancers work as like cocktail waitresses when they're done. So they could presumably get handsy walking around the table.
I don't like that. If I'm dancing, I want to be treated like the star I am. I don't want to get off stage and go bring you a Diet Coke.
You're not going to tech your own play.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, what if I said, you got a choice between you bringing the guys, the Heinekens, or you going up on stage, which is every fifth dancer, and doing the one where you take the Windex to the mirror.
Oh, and then you do the pole, too.
You wipe down. You got to wipe. That place needs a wiping down every four or five dancers.
That's a good question.
Wouldn't you rather be slinging the Heineken at that point?
Yeah, I guess I would. Okay. At least, yeah, treat me like a performer. Don't, make me grab a mop.
So they're going to unionize.
They're unionizing.
All right.
With Actors Equity. Oh, look, there's your place.
Oh, it's nice.
Venus Fair.
That's Venus Fair. Yeah. What you want is a lot of stucco and not many windows.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a really classy establishment. And then just up Lancashire, probably another four or five storefronts, you get to Star Garden, which is a miniature little place.
This is clearly the end of North Hollywood. So what are we butting up against? Like Panorama City, Sun Valley.
This is
not the NoHo Arts District.
There is more NoHo to go.
That's their slogan.
You'll be two, three blocks down and still in NoHo.
Wow.
Yeah, there's guys
crippling depression
selling used cars and equipment and stuff like that. Like you can keep going.
It's sun bleached.
Yeah, sunblasted.
There's no bunker.
Yeah, there's no fauna, flora.
Nothing grows.
No.
Yeah, now this is the place that sells the plugs and the strap-ons and all that kind of stuff. But this place is like a peep booth, too.
Oh, how quaint.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like a Madonna video.
Yeah,
open your heart. It's like a Madonna video. They have the glass, and then you put the money in
that's
the thing.
That's still up and running, you think?
This place also has... Jesus, remember those old video booths? You know, you just feed change in. And I always had this theory that they, I don't know, it was $1.50 for 3 minutes or something, like quarters. But I think where they made their real money was not in the one and done department, $1.50 at a time. They clinically timed it out. So that you would put in your $1.50, you'd start to go to town on yourself, and at some point it would stop.
Yeah.
You'd have to reach down and like reboot and get your pants back up and fish around. Meanwhile, the dick's flaccid again, and we restart the process over.
That's how you get rich
and
stay
rich. That's how you do it.
That's good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do they still have peep booths?
That's a test. Don't answer that.
That's a peep. I don't know. We're going back to circa 89. That's all I know.
Do you think
there's
competition for the editors who are just so good at time?
You
got to get Jimmy. This guy, he knows how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an algorithm, I'm sure. That it's in play in many different facets of business. And this is one of them. Don't kid yourself.
I won't.
It's called porn business, people.
Poor Jimmy's like, I worked on the Thin Blue Lines. I went in there and cut that porno.
Yeah, I don't know if they still have the peep show or the – I imagine they don't have the booths anymore.
Yeah.
But Star Garden was just a little kind of flash dancey place.
Well, now they're
quaint.
On the map.
The mom and pop place.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. There it is.
There it is.
That's nice.
It's classy.
It does look classy. Yeah.
Look at the column.
Yeah.
It's classy.
There's a column.
They only have one column.
Yeah, indeed. That's all you need.
Hey, if that's a good column, that's all you need. Yeah. There it is.
Somebody live upstairs?
I never found out what was going on upstairs.
Okay, that's for the best.
We pretty much shot some pool, watched a few dances.
Is there a North Hollywood affiliation of like mob? Is there a mob scene in the Valley that I'm not aware of? Because that's where they would hang out if they were here.
This was real, seemed kind of blue collar, kind of Joe Sixpacky. Guys were reasonably well behaved. We knew the bouncer. He just kind of let us in. Kind of knew most of the dancers. I don't know. In a weird way, it was sort of innocent fun at a strip club in a more innocent time. Like we just wanted to drink pitchers of beer and shoot pool and stuff like that too.
Was there a buffet?
No.
No.
No, there's no. I don't think you could get food. Food would have been out of our. that was way too. Unless they had some busted up taco shells or something brought in from Henry's.
Well, there's a new employment term that's getting a lot of traction online. It's called quiet quitting. CNBC reports.
Chris, you've told me about this.
Yeah, it's a thing now that 21% of working Americans say they themselves are quiet quitters. So what is it? So this TikToker, who goes by the name of Zed Leplin, kickstarted the conversation with a video he posted on July 25th. Here's how he explains quiet quitting.
I recently learned about this term called quiet quitting, where you're not outright quitting your job, but you're quitting the idea of going above and beyond. You're still performing your duties, but you're no longer subscribing to the hustle culture mentality that work has to be your life. The reality is, it's not, and your worth as a person is not defined by your labor.
So others have weighed in.
I do this in relationships, but I would never bring it to work.
Quiet, you know, dumping.
I mean? Yeah,
yeah, quiet breaking up.
Leave
yeah.
it at the threshold.
That's right.
When you go to work, time to work.
Well, others weighed in, said it's about setting boundaries, about what your outputs look like. It's about doing the bare minimum because that's all that you can give. It's about not doing extra work if there's no extra compensation, and the list goes on.
All right.
And on.
First off, fuck all these fucking idiots. They're so torpedoing their own. Like, I'm not going to do any extra work if I don't get any extra. No, that's how it works. That's how all good jobs work that way. Don't work any more than you should work. If you're working at a Del Taco, don't work for free. But if you're in a production company or something and you want Mike Judge to notice you, then
get him a coffee.
Feel free to get him to notice you in a good way. Then there's this thing where it's like, why should I have to make my life work? And it's the same thing I say with people like, give these people universal basic income so they can have dignity. It's like, dignity? Well, give them a fucking wheel of free cheese, too. Like, what do you mean dignity? Dignity is about going to fucking work, you lazy sacks of shit. You don't have to make your life your work. You should have balance. But you should also strive to have a career.
We shouldn't vilify your work.
Yeah, but there is work, and then there's a career. One should attempt to have a career. And then you would enjoy your work.
Spending Sorry. Wise and pound foolish. You're going to feel great for a little while because you're in the bare minimum getting paid. But no, you're not going to have any chance of moving up. They're going to look at you as like just
slacker.
He barely does anything.
Yeah.
And also, lethargy is overrated. Like people
put that
think
on a bumper sticker.
The guy leaning on the broom is having the time of his life, and the guy's doing all the extra sweeping is miserable. The guy's doing the sweeping is happier than the guy leaning on his broom. That's the thing we don't tell you.
Because he realized
good.
He had time to lean.
Time to clean.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about somebody who's going the other way and getting applauded by people in Hollywood and people online and people he worked with on the movie. Idris Elba says his own kid auditioned to play his kid in a latest movie, and she did not get the part, even though...
In Beast?
That's right.
I'm going
even
to see
though
it after this.
Idris could have presumably pulled some strings to get her cast. He was on The Breakfast Club plugging the movie The Beast. And during the conversation, Elba revealed why his 20-year-old daughter, Isan, didn't make the cut.
And interestingly enough, my daughter auditioned for this role. She wants to be an actress, and she auditioned. And, you know, it came down to chemistry in the end. You know, my
she
daughter
was
and
very
I,
good.
She was great. But
yeah.
the relationship in the film and the relationship between my daughter was... The chemistry wasn't right for film, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm. She didn't pass a chemistry test with her dad.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps in the movie their relationship was strained.
Perhaps.
It's just too good.
And she said she
or they're lovers.
That's right. She didn't speak to him for 3 weeks, but
really?
she's gotten over it, and he's getting just completely applauded by everyone for the lack of nepotism.
Well, it's weird because, like, whenever, I don't know, Gordon Ramsay, was he on the show saying, I fly first class, my kids fly coach because they haven't earned it? And we all love it. Like, we love it when people tell their kids to fuck off. But then we've structured society in some weird way where that's not really possible anymore.
What are you talking about?
Yes, dad running all over town looking for a charger for an electric bike. But then when they do it, we like it, right?
We love it.
We love it.
They're heroes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's good. I'm sure she'll land on her feet. But even the people that worked on Beast were also applauding him. Like, it just made everything easier.
But I don't get it. She wasn't. But the host was kind of actually said
that
oh,
was
they were
the producer of the movie.
He was on the movie.
Yeah, who I think was trying to soften the blow. She was really good. She came really close.
Oh, I see. He was saying she was really good because I thought it was a host saying like they saw the movie or something like that.
She didn't make the cut. Mm. And. I mean, as though Idris Elba needed help being hotter. That real voice, that English voice.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, do we have time for one more?
Does Mike Judge try to shoehorn any of his offspring into your art?
No. I think we're all too embarrassed and shy about doing anything like that.
Yeah, we've definitely seen it, though.
We've seen it.
And yeah. You feel it, right? Like, there's resentment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We had a friend ruin one of the my favorite lines that I ever wrote in King of the Hill. He said, I got the perfect person. It was a girlfriend or wife. And we said, oh, perfect. Okay. And she butchered it. And I'll never forgive nepotism for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You couldn't quietly re-record that?
You know what? Then it would have been, okay, so we replaced your girlfriend, wife, and everything becomes a thing.
Yeah.
And so we just cut the line.
Oh.
What do you think Nick Cage has a kid, but he can't go by Coppola or Cage if he's trying to keep it real, right? He's got to now go for a third name.
That's right.
And then if he becomes super successful, then his kid is going to have to abandon their name.
Yeah.
Could he circle back to Coppola?
No.
Not going to work. Because we all love the Nick Cage story. It's like, I want to do this on my own terms, right?
Right. So, well, even Talia Shire.
Right, right.
You know what Kirk Douglas told Michael Douglas? Michael Douglas, you don't know how tough it is being, you know, Michael Douglas. You know, instead of Kirk Douglas, he goes, change your name. You know, his name, he was like Kirk Kerchowski,
yeah,
as a Jewish guy.
That's right.
Just change your name.
Right.
The last thing he heard of that.
Yeah.
One more. All right. Well, if you don't know where your buddy was over the weekend, I can tell you, Adam, because Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck got married for the second time, this time in a big ceremony at Ben's Georgia estate. Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Kevin Smith were on hand for the ceremony, though Affleck's younger brother, Casey. Yeah.
One and a half of those people?
Yeah. That's about right. They were no-shows. They first got married in Vegas in a little ceremony, but now this was in his compound. And oh, nothing, a good friend of mine who owns the Glow Med Spa in Savannah, that's where J-Lo went to get her skincare done. So Jimmy Kimmel was there. You've got to ask him all about it.
Is this lasting forever?
Because
they both, you know, have had a few swings and misses.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, you get old enough and it's just like, oh, fuck it.
I think it has to be.
Or you're deeply in love.
No.
There's always that option.
Yeah.
I think it has to be just for spite, because they would never come back from a second divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to keep this shit together just to spite A-Rod and all the Mark Anthony. Jennifer Garner.
I hate that guy. Don't know her.
Yeah, one of the proudest moments with my daughter, she must have been like 4 or 5. We made Extract, and Ben Affleck was one of the stars. And he was fantastic because he wasn't getting paid anything. So he was there because he wanted to be. But my daughter's there on set. And so he goes and tries to be the good guy. And my Milena will not have any of it. He's like, hey, I'm Ben. She's just like, fuck you. Fuck you. Could not break through to her at all.
Wow. So,
yeah.
All right, you want to bring it home?
That's all for us. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
That's crazy when you see pictures of her, J-Lo, and him and their prior relationship 20 years ago. He looks 20 years younger.
She looks exactly the same age.
That's right.
Clean living.
Yeah. It's got to go a little deeper than that.
Sure, she was blessed.
Ryan, you're so naive.
But I just mean it. Like, it literally just doesn't look different.
No.
He looks good now, too. He just looked 20 years younger 20 years ago.
Yeah.
She's
a vision.
She's just who she is.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. And then she's got more money than him, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prenup?
I guess, right? I mean, you just have to. There's too much.
Yeah.
Right. I think they're in, according to TMZ, they're moving in, remodeling her big, you know, Beverly Hills estate or something while looking for other houses.
Adam is our TMZ correspondent.
TMZ. He fills you in.
Yes.
Watch TMZ constantly. All right. The book, The Gangster's Guide to Sobriety, My Life in 12 Steps, it's available. As we speak, when does the Ducati motorcycle special series, when might we see that coming somewhere soon?
Well, we're literally putting that together. I'm going to Italy in 3 weeks, and we're just trying to, you know, put it together. Like I said, instead of just going to American strength, well, let's go to Italy, because Italy's great. I lived there for a year and a half, and put it together with Ducati, all these sponsors, and then regional commissioner, film commissioners, and just do it upright.
Great. Right, because it's early next year, and we could have wrapped the show, but thank you for that soliloquy. Salt Lake City, Wise Guys Comedy Club. This Friday and Saturday, doing live pods there early, and then stand-up shows for the late show. Just go to adamcarolla.com. Until next time, this is Adam for John and Dave and Gina and Bald saying mahalo. Tell me all about it, stud.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies. The hard copy and audiobook are available wherever finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them right now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.